we welcome everyone who is here and indicate that having done oversight, I think it will be proper and fair for us to be able to gain this report to Parliament. But also critical is the recommendations that we'll be doing in this report, which will be able to assist the department. And I think one of the observations that we have made, remember when we were in Lesotho, Free State, all those two borders that we went to, there were critical challenges, particularly with the Department of Transport in the Free State. You would recall that there were a case which was in the, I think, the High Court in Free State, which actually judgment has since been out, and for sure we want to make a follow-up particularly on the case and a judgment that has been passed to check as to whether is the government of Free State complying with the outcomes of the court judgment. What are the things that we can be able to do? But also mindful of the fact that part of the things that we were made to understand in all the oversight that we did was the fact that there is a behind schedule kind of a program in terms of legislative issues which hampers some of the activities in some of the institutions that we visited. ATLS is one of them, SACA is one of them, which actually was complaining about the legislation which actually hampers. And actually with civil aviation, one of the things that they raised is that the challenge is that they are not mainly 100% compliant with the PFMA, which actually demands that the legislation so that they can be able to comply. How the accounting systems also were one of the things which actually were raised by some of the parastators. And having said that, I believe that we will be going through this report and we should be able to, the observations and recommendations, but actually holistically say what are the things that we can be able to do as this committee so that we are able to look in the assist the department in making sure that there are critical things which actually can be able to be changed. But I would want to encourage and emphasize the fact that particularly the CBRTA1, that oversight, we may want to also take it further, go into the other borders, just go and look as to what are the things which are happening in the other borders. We don't need to wait for crisis to be there so that we're able to do this oversight. Igombo border, Bay Bridge border, all these other borders that are going into other African states, particularly the SADC region, because we've got SADC protocols that are guiding as to how to deal with these matters. We also have agreement, the SACU agreement, which actually deals with most of the things. So I believe that as a committee, as we are doing these recommendations, we should be able to also look, be forward thinking and forward looking as to how we would like to do things. Without much ado, can we get the apologies? Do we have apologies into this meeting?
Chair, we have apologies from this morning.
Ms. Carter is with the Agriculture Committee this morning. Mr. Mabita apologized, and Mr. Mula will see you striking exams.
Thank you very much, Valerie. Can we look at the agenda and adopt agenda? Are there other things that we believe should be on the agenda? Seconded by Mr. Defaitis. Well, you wanted to raise another issue. Okay, go ahead. Before I adopt.
Sorry, Chief, but I'm not sure if we added on, maybe just discuss later, but I just wanted to bring up the other items that we've due to sitting and so forth. For example, originally we were going to look at ARTO and so forth today. So we could maybe discuss later in the, just to ensure that we also get to those items. And then the other thing that I'm concerned about is that we meant to have a joint meeting with the Basic Education Committee, which I believe the Basic Education Committee met, but we were advised that we were indeed But why I'm really talking about that is I see that cabinet, that draft has now gone to cabinet, which concerns me because we haven't as a committee even looked at it, so maybe that could be considered. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Ms. Honourable.
Thank you, Chair. Just also in support of the letter transport policy, which I know we were sent a presentation and it was probably intended to bring to the committee at some stage, and then due to other circumstances didn't, but then just to plead that we could just have a conversation about that. Since I've looked at the final draft and I still have a couple of concerns there.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. When it comes to the scholar transport, you would recall that there was a plenary, what do you call this, joint plenary on energy, and we were requested to be part of that, and hence it was in the morning, so we had to be recused, but DDE continued with the meeting, which was supposed to be a joint meeting as scheduled. It doesn't stop us as this committee to look into the scholar transport. I think the policy has now gone to, it has gone to cabinet, but it doesn't stop us from saying when can we put this. Even if we put it today, we all have documents with ourselves here. When we are done with this, we can be able to look into the scholar transport and raise the matters. I don't know, Honourable Members, if there are issues that we believe will stop us from discussing the solar transport. The after one, we decided that for the fact that we are going to be having a two-day workshop, and after had requested, the department had requested 6 to 8 hours so that they can be able to brief us on ARTO, we have pushed the ARTO discussions to the workshop that will be coming. When is the workshop? Which is coming next week. The strategic planning workshop, which will be coming next week. So I think this one can be able to be moved to next week. But with the scholar transport one, once we have done our daily tour and we're still left with maybe an hour or so, we've got documents in our gadgets. If the documents are not there, those who don't have their gadgets with, we can always go and talk to you and make paper and give it to you. What is the joke? Yeah, just internal discussions with the court. Yeah. We can be able to discuss so that we know when the department has come to brief us on scholar transport, we already have our position, we've got our additional things that we believe should be part of this policy, and then we can take it up from there. Can we look at the oversight report? If we agree, we will start with the first one is the November 1, talking to what? Cross-border CBRTA and then SAMHSA. I don't know what will be the approach. I stand to be guided by members on the approach towards this report. Honourable Members? Money?
Thank you, Chair. I've read through them. I have no problem. My only question that I ask is, are we going to have some recommendations at various stages? Will the Secretariat or yourself schedule in that we will then meet these regulations? I mean, for example, when we talk about synchronising the CBRT with the NLFA and so forth, it requires that we then do certain actions. Would I be correct in saying that between yourself and the Secretariat we then schedule it in throughout this year and so forth? That's the only question I really have. Thank you.
That can be part of the recommendations, but it also needs action plan. to that is that we can be able to look into how we make sure that we action that and make sure that it becomes part of our agenda and our program. Maybe what we should do is to put it in the packing bay, and then we will, when we go to strategic plan, say what will be the, how do we implement the infusion of all these acts which actually are speaking to one another, because the CBRTA Act, NLTA, and all these other acts which have been mentioned here, there's somewhere where there is overlapping. How do we deal with that? What are the things that we can be able to look into? Honorable Bushielo, Honorable Bunsinga.
Thank you, Chair. I'm proposing that maybe the authors of the report, maybe Secretariat can take us through, and then we then come with the recommendation.
That's the proposal. Honorable Bunsinga.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to draw your attention to the last section, 3, on the recommendations, especially 3.2.
Before then, Honorable Bushier was making a proposal that the Secretariat should be able to take us through page by page, and then can be able to single out the things that we believe we should be able to discuss. This is a proposal which needs somebody to second. I hope you're all seconding. Okay, thank you very much. Violet, if you can.
Members, the report is based on the proceedings on what happened on the morning that the committee met with the CBRTA. If members would recall, first of all, the report on page 1, let me write it on page by page, talks about the legislative mandate of the CBRTA, which is outlined in the Cross-Border Road Transport Agency Act, talking about advising the Minister of Transport on cross-border road transport policies, the improvement of flow of freight and passengers in the SADC region, to introduce regulated competition in respect of cross-border road transport, reduce operational constraints for the cross-border transport industry as a whole, enhance and strengthen the capacity of the public sector in support of the strategic planning, enabling and monitoring functions, and to empower the cross-border road transport industry to maximize business opportunities and regulate themselves incrementally to improve safety, security, liability, quality, and efficiency of services. The report further on 1.2 on page 2 talks about the core functional areas through which the CBRTA executes mandates, which is administration, regulatory and legal services, the road transport inspector, the facilitation and industry development, and strategic support. The report talks also about background to the RFA listed cross-border conflict. Members who were present at the oversight would recall that the committee was briefed on this background by the ministerial task team, and it also talked about the interventions that were made to resolve the conflict. At the meeting, there were members of the task team, members which included members of the DOT, and the Office of the Free State MC for Transport had a representative present. There were also taxi operators from Gauteng and Free State. The task team took the committee through the history of the conflict when it started in 1999, and also the impact of the conflict, which were the negative impact on trade and economic activity between the two, South Africa and South Africa, the violence which placed the lives of commuters and government officials in danger, and also the negative media exposure. The task team went on to explain that some operators did not embrace the cross-border operations, and also the reasons why. They explained that the free state taxi operators contended that they were entitled to cross-border transport of passengers that were transferring through the Free State province into other parts of South Africa. They talked about the deterioration of the conflict last year in June and the efforts that were made to resolve the situation, which were unsuccessful. That was on page 2. On page 3, talked about the SACRU agreement and the SADC agreement, which talked about the uninterrupted manner of transport for passengers from one point of origin to the end point of the destination without exchange of vehicles. Members would call in that at the actual site, at the border post, that it was shown that that was not happening. The bullet point 1.4 talks about the report that was further presented by the task team, where they were looking at ways to normalize the cross-border operations and the workshops that were held with the NCOP, the Embassy for Police, Roads and Transport Industry, say, cross-border operators and the Minister of Transport, and then the model that was developed to resolve the impasse based on the data collected. Then it shows here the model that they used came resolve on certain things that had to take place to normalize operations, which is bulleted on page 3. On page it's one page 4. Also on the bullet 1.4, it just shows all the issues that happened since June 2014. Of all the happenings that took place, and also what happened for things to normalize. It talks there about the situation. Another meeting that was held with the task team after the Minister of Transport visited Lesotho to meet with a counterpart, and what the purpose of that engagement was. Then on 1.5, talks about the committee observation. There were members time constraints at the meeting on that morning because there wasn't enough time for the committee to engage with all the stakeholders present. And members also indicated there was a need for more information to be gathered. But we've noted some of the issues the members mentioned as observations and recommendations. And while the discussions was happening, and that was the need to enable legitimate cross-border operators to conduct their business without hindrance, and there was a need for the rule of law to prevail. At the meeting, members expressed the need for operators to express their grievances and concerns. But that couldn't happen due to time constraints, but there was a need for a follow-up discussion with the relevant government departments and the Free State MEC. There was also a need to harmonize regulatory framework between the CBRTA and other provincial licensing authorities. At that meeting, members expressed the need to engage with the department on the challenges raised by the CBRTA on the implementation of the SADC MOU. In 1.55, it talks about the observation of members at a Vicksburg and a material border post, where members noted that passengers had to disembark taxis on the one side of the border to embark on the other side. and that that was contrary to the terms of agreement in terms of the SACO and the SADC MOUs. Another in the recommendations on page 5, the issue of the legislative review was came up in previous meetings with CVRCA as well as at meetings, and it was raised by CVRCA to synchronize the Cross-Border Road Traffic Act with the National Land Traffic Act. The other issue came up was the review of bilateral agreement and the implementation of the SADC protocol. The other issue that was discussed about was the protection of South African operators in regard to conditions employed applied in neighboring countries. 1.63. There was a need to agree on the adherence of agreements. The committee also indicated that they needed to be kept abreast on developments on the cross-border issue, and review and 1.65, the committee would engage with the Department of Transport on how the CPRCA's mandate could be improved in terms of how they implement the mandate. Those are the issues related to the CPRCA matters.
Thank you very much, Valerie. Honourable members, there we are. Let's get input. I'll start with you, Honourable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Jay. In the recommendations in from the first one at 1.6.1 to 1.6.5, nearly all the recommendations relate to legislative review of bilateral agreement. Then in 1.6.3, ensure that agreements are adhered to, and then again also progress report. What I seem to miss is what's noted under 1.5.2, that the committee couldn't fully engage with the operators, and I suggest that it should be considered to also include a follow-up or a mechanism through which these engagements that we seem to note that wasn't sufficient, that it should be part of the recommendations in some or other form, but at least a continuous mechanism through which the stakeholders could then communicate.
First of all, when you introduce the subject, you ask us the procedure how to take this report. So, up until Honorable Police recommended that the Secretary Lushelo, yes, recommended that we request the scriber to take us by page by page. You know, before we come to matters arising or additional things, I thought that we'll go page by page to correct it, because this is going to be our document. And then after we can add whatever we want to add. That's what I thought.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Are there questions of this document? Can we go to page 1? Honourable Deco, page 1?
Yes, sir. Just a minor correction on page 1 on credentials of the delegation. I was not part of the delegation. It's just a mistake that my name is there. I was with my other responsibility. Tourism. Yes. Yeah. Thanks.
On page 2, 1.3 in background, what sentence number 1, 2, 3, 4, various texts is the spelling there.
Sentence number 4.
Yes, ma'am. Department of Transport, yes.
starting on page 3, can go to page 4? Nothing on page 4? Can you go to page 5? No, it doesn't look like there's anything. Page 6 up until 1.6.5. Nothing. Thank you very much. With all these corrections, the document will be looked into. We're continuing with the observations and other things that we believe should be added onto the report. There was one observation and which was made by Honorable Mzinga. Are there any other recommendations, observations that members would want to make before we move on to the next one? Honorable Mzinga.
On the first recommendation, 1.6.1, I think we really need to maybe write to the department specifically to show this, because they came here and gave us impression that, you know, it will take a long time or do not even be able to do it, and I'm not even sure how to react the way they said it. So this is important that this legislation be done. So I think we must pick it up and then conscientize the department to really do that. And I think it will be helpful if you can also put some time frames.
That is the addition to what this recommendation, that as part of what we have made here, that the need for that the committee believes that the department is able to receive the fees and have time frames to work how the FDA review of the
legislation. That is the addition that you are making. Are there any other things that you want to make as an observation? Honorable, continue, Honorable Bushiero, and then Honorable Hatelo will follow you.
Thank you, Chair. On 1.6.2, I think this problem of the bilateral agreement has been long there, and we saw the problems that is causing this problem. I believe that maybe we should also leave this one to the minister's level, because I don't think that officials are interested in solving this problem. You know, it's a very contentious issue. Maybe life will be lost and everything, but I don't think the department is gearing itself to assist in this regard. So, as the committee, I would want us to also take it up.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think one other thing that I don't know how to put, but it to me is very important, is the observation that the Free State government, in terms of what the testing reported, they are caught and caught depending on what really suits them. And I really don't know how to put that. But we have to make that kind of an observation to say, much as the task team, national, provincial government, together with Lesotho, there is, in terms of the court, there is movement. But there is a kind of pressure from the provincial government of the Free State, as if it's three countries which actually are making these negotiations, whereas it's between the Republic of South Africa and Lesotho. And as to how Free State is talking to the issues, because one, you would hear from the guy who was representing Free State that they will await the cabinet of Free State, they will await a directive, whereas there is an agreement which was assented to by both the Prime Minister of Lesotho and the President of the Republic of South Africa. The other observation that I think we should be able to put here is that properties are being damaged, and the South African Police Service selectively choose how to deal with this type of things. As when people are fighting and properties are damaged, you recall that lady who was crying in a meeting, whose taxi was burnt to ashes and stuff like that. As properties are being damaged, communities don't get much joy in terms of what the South African Police Service does to assist the communities when these things are happening. And these are legitimate genuine permit holders. Lastly, in terms of permit holders, why I'm talking to the permit holders, I think it will be important that we also make an observation that much as there has been permits which actually has been issued, there are those who are breaking the law, not necessarily having permits, but making it difficult for those who are having permits to can be able to do the trade as per the requirements of the permit, precisely because of this challenge that are there in Free State, where they believe that the residents of Free State should be the first one that will be given a permit. I'm just thinking, just imagine if there's somebody who comes from Dubai, in the mines from Dubai, driving all the way from Limpopo into Gauteng, into Free State. You arrive there, they will buy bicycles, they will buy all these things to take home. Then you arrive there, you must carry all those things from the side of South Africa into the side of Lesotho. It's not workable. Imagine those women who are doing trade in terms of selling clothes. You saw those big bags which were coming across Lesotho into the Republic of South Africa. In fact, if they don't come from Dubai straight to the border, they go to Bloemfontein, they get taken from Bloemfontein to the border, because there is a belief that they must be dropped off in Bloemfontein. The same applies to those women. They get dropped at the border, they get taken to Bloemfontein, they get taken to Gauteng, or wherever they're going to be doing their trade if they are coming from Lesotho, which is cumbersome. And I think cross-border was meant to ease of these challenges so that there can be easy flow of traffic between the two countries. Honorable Sibande, Honorable Khade.
Chairperson, I was going to propose that you should move slightly, because we discussed some of these issues. I'll put an example. All what we have said at the moment are very relevant. Very relevant. I'll cite an example. Do you still remember when we arrived at the Missouri border? Also the issue of bedlocks, whereby there was no person responsible who was supposed to expand the taxi rank, whether it falls under the Department of Public Works or that it falls under the transport. I'm setting an example. So what I wanted to maybe to suggest is that if it's all right, maybe to accept this report, and then we do have rights to identify some of the urgent issues, like the one was with, for example, since Honorable Giel raised at least like some of the things you suppose is fitted up. So that's how I view it. We are on the right, but let us not open it, because there are a lot of things, for example, also the issues which were raised by South African taxi associations, that the condition when they arrive in Lesotho, they're being punished. Some of the taxis are being stepped in, they are being charged, the charges are anonymous, etc., etc. To me, it seems that we are just opening it again. Let us identify some of the things we're supposed to be basically addressed, but let us focus on this one.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khair.
Okay, Che. Che, can you look at 1.6.4, issue of quota report? I'm just looking at that you are getting to the third or the second quarter, mm-hmm. that we didn't receive any quota reports in our press. For those issues. I request that you just make follow-up so that you'll be able to get those reports. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khadere. I think the secretary will be able to circulate the report that we received from CBRT. It came about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I've got a copy that I received 2 weeks ago. I'll request the secretary to circulate that report. Honorable members, if we're to be genuine and honest, there shouldn't be anything that we hide from Parliament, because if we catch up with us in the long run, I don't have a problem if we believe that there are certain things that we can and can't say. But we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing it in the interest of the end users out there, because here we're talking about legislative issues which are an impediment, but also we're talking about some of the things that we are not doing or we are doing, which becomes an impediment. Because if at all CPRPA Act is a punishment to the operators in the Republic of South Africa, we should be able to go into those MOUs of SACU and SEC and say, these are the problems that we are seeing. But now I believe when I'm raising this, all these issues that I am raising, I believe that probably out of Parliament, out of the recommendations that we are making to the Minister, it should be able to clear this impasse that is there in the border, Lesotho. Because for as long as we allow the traders to carry their things from Lesotho or from the Republic of South Africa, as long as we allow the traders to be dropped somewhere halfway, there's a halfway dropping, there's a three-quarter way dropping, there's a full dropping, it will never have what this CBRTA was meant for, particularly the Act, which actually stipulated very, very clearly free flow of freight and passengers. That is my belief. So, to me, Honorable Sibande, I'm highlighting some of these things to say these are the observations that we made as we are there. If Honorable Members believe that it is enough, these observations which are here, some of the observations don't need to come into this, I'm comfortable with that. Thank you very much. Any other thing?
I'm agreeing with you, and basically what you're asking the committee is how do we, in a diplomatic way, put this in the report, if I'm reading it correctly, because I share your concerns. And I don't have the answer on how to put it diplomatically, but maybe the angle we'd say is the committee may be expressing its concern with regard to lack of cooperative governance and coordination with other levels of government / another country, and in this case it's Lesotho. So that's maybe, if I may suggest, the beginning of how we would phrase it without offending anyone. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. You're welcome. Any other thing on CBRTA? Can we move to the next item, which is SAMSA, Oversight on the Marine Safety Authority? That is page 6 of our reports. That is item 2. Committee Sec, if you can take us through.
So that members can be acquainted with their strategic plans for the financial year. So at the visit, on page 6 and 7, SAMHSA briefed the committee on their strategic objectives, which is outlined on page 7. They also talked about their achievements. At a meeting, they, on page 8, they took the committee through their challenges, which were very specific. They talked about the non-approval of SAMHSA tariff adjustments since 2009. Another issue that was mentioned was that the capacity to respond to maritime incidents lies outside of control of SAMHSA. They talked there about their constraints in terms of pollution control and emergency tagging.
in which caused a constraint on their ability to respond to issues of maritime safety and pollution. They mentioned to the committee at the meeting that they needed an estimated total of $1.5 billion to they needed that amount for a salvage tug, and they also needed $75 million for sea wash and rescue operations. The CEO and the management also informed the committee at that meeting that the maritime industry and sensor were faced with diminished technical skills due to an aging workforce, which is impacting negatively not only on sensor but the whole maritime industry, and they needed more funding for a national apprenticeship program. Another issue that they needed an intervention from the committee was in relation to the slow ratification of legislation and the absence of a national maritime transport policy. In 2.4, they actually outlined what they needed assistance from the committee with. The issue was SAMHSA indicated that they needed a certain piece of legislation to be processed quicker than it was that was happening at that stage. And they needed the committee's support for the finalization of the National Maritime Transport Policy. They took the committee through the, when we were there, they showed them how they were tracking ships, showing the monitoring system, if members can recall. And some of the observation at the meeting later after the site visit was around the processing of legislation, that it indeed needed to be speeded up. There was a need to finalize the maritime policy. And the need for training, for cadets, but also the need for vessels for sea training. Some of the recommendations on page 9 under bullet point 3 was the need to finalize the maritime policy, and the committees indicated that they needed to be kept abreast quarterly on the development of that policy, that the matter of outstanding maritime legislation, the processing thereof, needed to be addressed urgently, and also the committee decided then there needed to be quarterly briefings on how legislation, how quickly they are being processed. And members raised the issue about the funding for the sea watch and the rescue operations that needed to be addressed as well. That's all.
Thank you very much, honorable member. There we are. The corrections, page 6, from 2.1. Page 7. No corrections. On page 7, can we move to page 8? No corrections. Page 8.
Just quickly, just the question of the estimate on the first paragraph. The written text says 71, you mentioned 75.
Okay.
Is the text right or you're right?
No, the text is right.
Are you wrong? Okay, all right.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can we go to page 9? Nothing on page 9? Can we say that these are true reflections? Let's have discussions, amendments on SAMHSA issues. Honorable Bunshinga, going. Nearly gone. Honorable Bushiero.
Thank you, Chair. I recognize the end of the statement in the end of the paragraph on page number 8. If you can just catch it in the last part of the paragraph at the top. an estimated 71 million was underfunded since 2009 for the CWAT and response operations. And I do acknowledge the link to the recommendations, in fact the last one, 3.3 on page 9, that suggests engage with the department on making additional funding available for the SAMHSA CWATs and response operations. The engage seems to be a bit open. Who should engage and to what means and purpose, since we're reflecting on budgets from like 6 years ago, it might have changed and it might be possible not to fund everything, but then, you know, so there's a lot of detail on in terms of who, what, how, and when, and so on, which I would ask for your consideration for a bit more detail and direction.
What are you proposing?
Immediate full funding.
you asked a very pertinent question.
Yeah.
Engagement is open-ended and broad.
Yeah, who should engage? Must this committee engage? Must they engage with SAMHSA? Must the Department of Transport engage with SAMHSA? Should the Transport Department engage with the committee and SAMHSA? So in terms of that, you know, the who question on the engagement. And then obviously, you know, with a particular objective in addressing the shortfall which we've acknowledged in page 8 of 2008.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I'm just commenting on the comment.
Okay.
My understanding is that the recommendation goes to the executing authority. In this case, is the Minister of Transport, who, through his head department, makes sure that the appropriate funding that is on the agencies. Now, I think this engagement is directed to the department. My understanding is that, therefore, once the resolution, this report is adopted as a resolution of the House, the recommendation goes to the Minister. For the minister then to look at what we can say perhaps is that we need to be briefed at some interval of what has been the resolution here. What do we say in 90 days we should get a briefing from the executive authority how they've dealt with this particular matter. It will be 3.4. But I think engaging here is directed to the Minister of Transport. So I would suggest that we put that one for the committee to be kept abreast.
Honorable Bishop.
Chair, looking at the bills that the department and the policy that the department presented to us as the committee, it seems some of the legislation and the policies that they want to be held with the interagent is not even on their program. So I think we really need to work on that to say how do we, you know, engage with the department to make sure that they deal with them, because if they say it's agent, that is not on their list. So it's coming 2019.
Honorable
Ramachan. I think you remember, sir, in relation to the green job, is it something of that nature, or blue economy? Yeah, this color blocking kind of thing. That's we deal with the issue of, because when SAMHSA raised the issue of shortage of skill and technical skill capacity, it really needs us maybe to also engage the minister to find or invest more kind of finance in ensuring that the sustainability in terms of the jobs or the capacity within SAMHSA, because as they say, you know, all the other technical skills or people that are working there, they are getting old and within that sphere. What do we do in terms of ensuring that there's sustainability of that maritime? Because, as you see, there has been a shortage of funding, within, especially in terms of the rescue and ensuring that there's proper
capacity within that particular job. I think one of the recommendations to raise in terms of the skills capacity that we recommend that the minister must reshape or refocus in terms of putting more finances in and putting more capacity in sustaining the maritime industry.
I'm not sure. I'm not offended at all. There. Thank you very much for that recognition. Perhaps the what we should do then, or what Honorable Vigilio is asking, we should make it as a recommendation. This is the review of the timeline, or the review of the priority, policy priority. The department should review its priority, particularly around the agency of this particular policy. And then when they come in 90 days, they can then tell us that they have listened to us, or they just told us, no, we don't think you are right, we're not doing that. But I think we should make the recommendation specifically.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tomachakan. I think we have found a challenge in one thing, in terms of all the legislations which the department has been meaning to bring to Parliament shores, all the policies which are going and coming just like that. And if my memory serves me well, in one meeting, as a committee, we indicated that we need to have a template of the things that we're discussing with the department that we believe should be able to be followed through. And for sure, this is one of the issues which actually we should put and say in 90 days we expect the department to come and give us as to progress to date in terms of the policy, the maritime policy. But also, if you would recall, when we're dealing with the strategic plans, the CEO of SAMHSA had just come back, was just arriving as they were making a presentation from Singapore, and part of the things that they wanted was to have this engagement and bilaterals in terms of education issues, the maritime issues with the Republic of Taiwan as the Republic of South Africa, and therefore it tells you that there's a lot of things that the department should be able to engage and assist SAMHSA to make sure that they are able to live up to the ideals of Operation Pakisa. Because it cannot be right that there's a pronouncement that the President makes in terms of Operation Pakisa and the department which are supposed to be involved. There is no plan or no policy or no legislative shift if there's a need or development legislation which should be able to enhance. This that has been made as a pronouncement, because truly and strategically speaking, there will be, whether it's the Department of Environmental Affairs, whether it's the SANDF, whether it's those that are dealing with the green economy and the blue economy, somewhere there is a need for legislation to change, somewhere there is a need for policy to be able to guide that particular department so that it can be able to live up to the ideals. And if having this type of an issue, it was November last year that they were saying we would want to have a policy which will be an all-inclusive policy to deal with some of the Pakisa issues, to deal with the sea and rescue missions, to look into a number of things which actually are there. And it's 5 months down the line, probably we may need to, through the committees, start to engage the department to say, let's check progress, because obviously the minister through his or her representative, they sit in the SAMHSA board and they are able to get the issues that are there, and they should be able to act on what are the issues that are there. And I don't think the board can spend the whole year or 6 months without sitting, without engaging on some of these things. Okay. Sesi Vali. Are you happy? Okay, Honorable Khade.
No, thank you, Madam Chair. I propose that we adopt these minutes with those amendments as we discussed.
The second. Seconded, thank you very much. Can we move into the next set, which actually is of the fifth, from the fifth to the from the third to the fifth of February, the oversight, which was the request the secretary to the committee to deal with the first one, which is at PRASA. Were you there, Honorable? Okay.
The visit to PRASA was to gauge the progress made with the construction of the nerve center. There were not much recommendations made by members, and possibly that this is the opportunity to finalize that. They took the committee, first took the committee through the construction, constructed building, and they explained the operation of how it will operate, and they gave timelines. That was basically what happened, Chair. And as I said, there wasn't a debriefing session, so possibly if members could finalize recommendations and operations in the meeting, it would be appreciated.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Valerie. Can we look into the PRASA Nerve Center that we visited on the third background 3.1? Are the corrections up to 3.3, which is recommendation? If there are corrections? No corrections, can we go into discussions and inputs and recommendations that we believe we should make towards enriching this document? Going, Honorable Luciano.
Okay, in terms of our observation, the center was supposed to be completed by April 2016. I'm not sure whether it has been completed. Maybe we may want to have something that is completed.
And we made the recommendation that we be informed of progress to date. Regular progress in terms of the functionality of the next center, the completion functionality of the next center. Thank you very much. Honorable Ramachandra.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. It's not only the visit to the nerve center. I'm just talking on the walkabout that we had to the partition, where we identified a shortfall of a health clinic there, which we said will influence the Minister of Health just to set up even if it's a mobile clinic, to accommodate those that can be in labor, whatever challenges that can be there in that police station. Thanks.
Now, I don't know, maybe I think it's under observation or under the committee observation. I certainly remember that when we were at that center, we moved into a particular level there where all of us, after we have seen what we have seen and listened to the CEO and the rest taking us through the process and so on. I think we made some comments about what we have learned from that visit. Now, I was trying to read, and I know in that 3.2 paragraph, there's a lot about briefing, but it doesn't really say what our impressions were. Now, I certainly remember we talked about, our impression was that RASA in that particular center was really busy with the cutting edge stuff in terms of the technology integration and so on. I think we were almost indicating that we were impressed by what we have seen in that particular center, particularly what it's going to be able to do and the movement, monitoring the movement of the train. I think that whilst we were being there, there was also information that other SADC delegation were coming to see and learn from that particular center. So I think, so motivating a simple sentence that should be talking our impressions, the observation that in that particular center we think that they were doing quite an important cutting edge stuff, particularly that's going to be managing the accident and bringing down the accident because of the monitoring that's going to take place. So I was trying to read that paragraph, but I wasn't quite getting that impression that we made in that hall there at the bottom.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dr. for that input. I think also from the what we made also as an observation on the nerve center, part of the recommendation that we did, having made that observation, was that we would urge PRASA to duplicate into other areas such as your Western Cape, your KZN, so that, you know, we're able to deal with some of the issues, particularly in view of the fact that we will be having new locomotives. We will be having the new rolling stock as such. It will be of importance that this program actually goes even into the other areas. Honorable Kirko mentioned a very important thing of the walkabout in Park Station. I also tried to look here. Probably just a paragraph or so of the walkabout that we did in Park Station, the observation that we made, and the recommendations that we made, in particular this one of a health center which actually can be able to assist those who will be passing through, because you've got close to 1 million people going through that facility on a daily basis. But we also made an observation that Park Station being what it is now, which is user-friendly, we need to commend PRASA for that type of a facility, particularly because, what do they call that, they're making money out of the property leases and stuff like that. That, yeah, that they do almost similar things in other areas where they can be able to utilize fully their properties such that they are able to generate income to us.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's move on to air traffic and navigation services. Page 2, which is 4.1. Item 4.1 of page 2, we stop the ATMS. Any corrections on page 2, on page 3? Can we go to page 4? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. You
stopped. Yeah, cool.
Members,
yeah.
That's what I read.
Thank you very much.
Actually, in 4.1 on page 2, a background is given of AGNS in terms of its mandate that is laid out in the AGNS Company Act of 1993. That is responsible for air traffic control in 10% of the world airspace, and also to which airports it's giving services to. 4.3 talks about AGNS strategic plan that was set out in the meeting with the management of AGNS and the chairperson of the board. They talk about their air safety. Air safety strategic plan. Also, they assured that the committee at the meeting that the South African airspace was safe. They gave a breakdown of the safety events and ratio in terms of the air traffic movements. They talked about the financial sustainability and compliance legislation. Further on page 3 at the bottom, they gave the committee an overview of the human resources plan. Some of the observations that came up as a result of the discussions and the walkabout was the recommendation by the members on AGNS approach that came up a few times, and that the business model was attracting and developing a diverse team as well as the skills building initiatives. The one issue that came up was the actually two issues that came up was under observations 5.4 with the vacancies in the board that was mentioned by members in the discussion, the need for transponders in aircraft, especially privately owned aircraft, and the additional funding needed for the search and rescue unit and the additional funding for its operations. Members in the recommendation highlighted the need for vacancies in the AGNS to be held as soon as possible, for legislation that could address the fitting of transponders in the privately owned aircraft, and or the general aviation aircraft as well, and the need for additional funding for the search and rescue unit. Chair, that's it.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, there we are. Can we take from page 2 and look at the corrections? Nothing on page 2, can we move to page 3? Nothing on page 3, can we move to page 4? With recommendations and observations. There we are, honourable members. We agreed that this is a true reflection of what transpired. Are there issues that we want to raise on matters ATMS? Honourable Money. Next. Honourable Bushiello. Honourable Ramatlakan. Honourable Ramatlakan is proposing that all the reports must have pictures, so that people can be able to see that indeed we are walking the talk. What is Hamba Salt? Siaku. Tiko wase Jusko. Yeah, thank you very much. Can we go into the next report, Blim? Civil aviation.
Chairperson, at the meeting with the Civil Aviation Director, the senior management, and the board, the director, I should actually fix that, the director raised issues of air safety and
surpassed ranking in the world in terms of e-safety, and it talks about on page 6 about the aircraft registered and the growth pertaining to that. 7.4, the director gave the organization presentation on the organizational structure review. If members may recall, there a lot of senior positions were vacant, and explanation was given thereof. With a new structure to be completed by mid-February to deal with the organizational structure review. Members were introduced to some of the cadets at the meeting, so they talked about, the director talked about skills development and industry transformation and what was done to address any shortfalls. The organizational highlights were mentioned, which was SCAR regarded as the best performing entity in the Department of Transport, as well as the clean audit that was received by the Auditor General for second successive year, and that the entity hosted the ICAO medicine conference, which was the first for its kind in Africa. Issues raised was related to labor relations, labor recognition challenges, the finalization of that agreement needed to be done, the amendment of the Civil Aviation Act was mentioned as another issue, as it was not aligned to the PFMA. The other issue that was mentioned was the due reporting of the accident and incident investigating division that caused administrative challenges, and the amendment of the CAA Act, which would assist in addressing that as well. The final challenge was the issue of revenue, which the stagnation of passenger numbers also had an impact on the revenue of the entity. The observations made during discussions was the establishment of the independence of the accident and incident investigation division had to be prioritized, because it was currently in the unit of the Director General. But there was also no legislation pertaining to the independency of the unit and what the impact of that could be. And then they also raised that there would be additional funding required for the AIID for its operational requirements. 9.2, the delayed share of the Civil Aviation World amending of that and the alignment of the PFMA, it was again raised as an issue that needed to be raised as soon as possible. The chairperson of the SAFAR board in 1930 raised the legislative anomaly in terms of the corporate governance at SAFAR, where the director directly reported to the minister as opposed to the board. That was the issue that was mentioning. Another issue that was raised in 9.4 was that key vacancies was not filled due to the restructuring. That's why a lot of the managers they were acting. The issue of regulations to address unmanned aerial systems were also raised. The recommendations in bullet point 10 relates to the finalization of amendments to the Civil Aviation Act, and the department have updated the committee quarterly on the processing of those amendments. A look at the finalizing of regulations for the management of unmanned aerial systems, and the partnering of the departments with SACA on the development of funding models to ensure its future financial sustainability. Those were the three recommendations and chairperson.
Can we go from page 5 of the document, look at corrections on page 5, nothing.
Can you go to page 6? Nothing on page 6. Can you go to page 7? Amendments, revenue, committee observations. On page 7. It's gone. Last page is page 8, which ends with recommendations. Honorable Ramataka.
Honorable Chair, I thought there was two recommendations missing if you follow the body of the report,
mm-hmm.
which I think are critical. One is in relation to alignment to PMSA, and two is the act. This was the governance structures issues. So I thought that maybe if we could add those two, which seems to be critical, because otherwise the department will continue to function, the agency, outside of the policy alignment. So I think there's just the two.
Additional two recommendations. Are there any other matters that you believe we should be able to put into the body of the report? Honorable Mushiela, Honorable Keko.
I think it's just the same concern that this act is not on the plan of the department in the financial year.
Recall that when we were in a civil aviation authority, one of the things that the CEO was complaining about was that actually even internationally, for the fact that this legislation has got challenges, they get challenged internationally, and we as a committee decided that we're going to amend. I don't know if we have moved away from that approach that we felt as a committee we need to do. And we said working with the CEO will bypass the legal unity of the department, we will bypass the minister. After all, we are legislators. Ours is to formulate laws and be able to deal with laws so that we can be able to make these laws department. So, Honorable Deco.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure whether this will fit well in the report. If you can put it as a highlight that one of the presenters there highlighted something that we appreciated, that they have purchased an office space that they will develop. Since they're saying there's too much renters and whatever there, sometimes people will present this and it disappears, and it's good if you highlight it in the report that they have said this, so that we are able to commit them in the near future when we do a second visit to their area. I think it was this car that we are talking about, Chair. Thanks.
Both SACA and ATNS, these were the issues which were raised. Thank you very much. Honorable Matakana, Honorable Khadeve.
Chair, I don't know, your comments that you just made, it reminded me that at some point in that discussion there was some that pressure went keep going up and down, with frustration. Now what you were just capturing is that now I haven't seen that in the observation. That observation that there seems to be, which is what your point, I think, and Honorable Paul Libushiello's point, if you can marry the two, the issue about priority, lack of prioritizing of the agent's matters, then we carry it through to the recommendation, and then we capture your word, this will be shaking a tree, the recommendation that in the event that this will remain not a priority or high priority,
the department is not prioritizing this. The committee of transport would undertake a private members review of this legislation. So we put it in the context of what is allowable or what is permissible. So that's what we're going to do. So we say, in the event that they don't happen, and then within 90 days we want to hear from the department whether there's a progress, or if not, we would undertake the process as legislator.
Thank you very much.
Can I get permission to use ATNS as a card? I was going to two visits.
You missed out. You missed out big time. This is one of the oversight that I can repeat over and over again, and I will still not get a satisfaction in engaging and interacting both Civil Aviation Authority and ATNS. Those were not there. You really missed out. From the fact that you have people from third countries coming to train on our shores, when you arrive there you get met by the different country flags and indication that these are the students which are within the precinct. By just looking at the flags, they tell you that, you see, we've got five flags here. It means we've got five students that come from Africa who are doing training here, excluding South African students. And training on a variety of things, on navigation, pilots, engineering, working with DINEL, working with all these institutions, you missed out. Honorable members, are there other issues that you would want to raise? Honorable Bushier, we will still go. There's a request from the committee, other committee, that they want to go and visit.
Comrade Jakalini is missing us.
No, I don't agree. Papa Mfunzo.
I withdraw. I think this is a general observation. The decision that we take in this portfolio committee meeting, even when the department is there, and the report that we write, it seems this optional extra for them. They depend whether they want to take it or not. It just depends on them. They don't see it as like a mandate from this committee to implement what we discussed and decided upon, and then give us progress report in that regard. So I think the general process, like I'm saying, of all the agent acts that these entities have shown, they're free agents, surely at some point in time they also interact with the department. Surely they've raised it with the department, that's actually what they said, but nothing is going on. But what is even more shocking is that even things that are raised by this committee to the department, you know, they're still not in, and so, Chair, we ask for you to rescue us.
I've got high heels, I can just remove them. As long as I don't get arrested for doing that. Honorable members, I want to make a proposal. In view of the fact that you are recommending that we look into the review of the Act, that's what you see in the statement that you said. Can we have maybe two or three members from ourselves who can be able to look at what are the procedures for us to can be able to look into the private members bill which will be coming from this committee? And that's the first thing. The second thing, that maybe we are able to give ourselves time frames as to how long do we believe that we will be able to take. Remember, we already are having an act, a bill that we must deal with, the merchant shipping bill, which we are to deal with. But I don't think there is a lot of work
that we if there's three members who are dealing with this separately whilst they're dealing with this, we can be able to deal with the proposed bill to assist the two entities. That the minute we start doing that, the department will see the seriousness that we are taking our job, and they will start looking into other things and other things. Because last week we reminded them that by the 31st of May, they should have brought all the bills that they believe should come to Parliament, which actually will be dealt with until the end of the financial year. Yeah. By the 5th of June, we said in that meeting that by the 31st, knowing very well that they will not meet the timeline of the 31st, by Friday this week they should have brought all the bills that they believe will come. And I thought that ARPO bill will be one of them. I thought that even if we're still going to be discussing, it should come to Parliament. There are so many other bills that they have made as a proposal. But when you look at last year when they made that proposal, it was the bills that will be coming this year. Now in the strategic plan, these are the bills that will be coming in 2017 up until 2019. But somebody is employed in that department to deal specifically with this. There is a unit in that department which from 9 to 5 or from 8 to 4:30, they are supposed to be looking into these things and making sure that proper protocols are being followed. For a quarterly report to indicate that the executive management has looked through this thing, and then is an achievement and an outcome, for the executive to say we have sent this to the minister, we are waiting for the response of the minister, becomes an achievement. It definitely, there is a challenge somewhere. There definitely is a challenge somewhere. And my proposal is that that's the three of us who will look into this. Honorable Ramachaka.
No, well, I agree, Honorable Chair, that we should. But when we should implement that recommendation once we have submitted the report for the approval. Once it becomes adopted in the House, then we should then implement that. Now, I would go on to suggest that in the event that we have no problem with that, I agree with three-person committee, and I'm sitting strategically from this side, so I can see even those that are looking down, I can clearly see them visibly from here. So I would think that we should say, you can then decide whether you agree or disagree. I would suggest that we have Fandi Mamasbury, Hesina, and then Minir Sibande, and Mefro Bushiyalo.
The two of you will do what? There's a proposal that Honorable Rishia, Honorable Sibande, Honorable Hunsinga be the three main committees. Honorable Khadere?
Honorable Khadere, second.
Agreed to. This is a proposal. Honorable members, what you must understand is that we're not abdicating our responsibility. These are the team leaders. We all are going to be engaged in making sure that one way or the other, this becomes a success. From time to time, these team leaders, amongst them, they will be able to say how do they do things. But we believe that from time to time, they will always engage
through emails or through a meeting like this that we are able to spend 30 minutes them briefing us and saying this is how far we have gone. From time to time they will keep on updating us. Even us, we will for sure on an, every now and then engage with them to say this is these are the beliefs. The point of the departure probably would be from when we were at the aviation authority, the CEO indicated that there are proposals that have been made to the department on how the act should be changed, and we can get through the committee secretary those proposals from the CEO so that it becomes the founding thing which actually the three honorable members are able to work on. Agreed? Thank you very much. Can we have movements of Honorable Michelle before?
Yeah. I think from the recommendations, or maybe you should do it after we adopted them. I thought the Secretariat will pick up those acts, and then meanwhile, while we're doing the speech work, and then we send them to the department to get an understanding to say this agent issues, when are they coming and what, so that when we come to engage them as the team, already we've got two parallel processes going together.
That is in order. Can we go back to basics and say, in terms of the oversight on CBRT, can we get somebody moving for adoption of the report, Honorable Bushiero? A seconder, seconded by Honorable De Freitas on the South African Maritime Safety Authority, can we adopt the report? Moved by Honorable De Freitas, a seconder, Honorable Ramatakana. Can we go to the report of the 3rd to the 5th, starting with Prasa? Can we adopt the report with the amendments that have been made on Prasa? Agreed, Honorable Treko, any seconder, Honorable Ramatakana. Then we move to the next one, which is ATNS. Can we adopt the report of ATNS? Ramatakana is moving, any seconder? Honorable Treko seconds. Can we go to South African Civil Aviation Authority? Can we move for adoption of this report with all the issues raised? Honorable Michelo, thank you very much. Any seconder? Honorable Ramatakana, thank you very much. The report is so adopted with all the amendments that have been made. Thank you very much. Earlier in the meeting, we agreed that time permitting, we will go into the go after the minutes, we will go into the scholar transport. Can we look into the minutes of the 26th of May? Let's say you've got two sets of minutes. Which one is the first one? Okay. Let's say Ian. Canons, let's say PAK. Celebra. Celebra. Canons, sipe mo celebra. I come back here, Yabu Mune. Kwala ka ya bumune kwa bantshum re atu wa kezela ni ya ufezisela kezo kerko adopt ufa I like that. You just said adopt and
I was lacking a vocabulary to adopt. I am learning the nongo nongo loi nga matala la makuri matalo yanti so yane sisinga umelela akan channel tan ya sibulera 25 takota mshi. Can we accept that these are the two reflections of what transpired on the meeting on the 25th of May in the Portfolio Committee of Transport? That is what I was saying in Shangan. I can repeat it. Comrade Chris agreed. Who is seconding? Honorable Michelle and Honorable De Freitas, but seconded. Darakwalao, mani, iri na seketela. Good. Can we go into the scholar transport issues? Honourable Member, we agreed that in view of the fact that we were supposed to be part of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education, but we could not because there was the energy, EPC, we could not be part of that meeting. We felt that despite the fact that we will still reconverge, we may want to look into the solar transport proposed draft policy. I don't know if it's still a draft because it has already served in cabinet. I don't know the outcomes of cabinet that we look and still also make our very own recommendations towards the scholar transport matter. Those that don't have documents, it's been distributed. Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to just open to honorable members to say we're going to discuss randomly, so without necessarily, and I don't know if we are to follow sequencing or I stand to be advised, honorable members. Honorable
I'm a little bit I'm confused. If I can be able to get a knowledge, this document is also interpreted by the Portfolio Committee of Basic Education and taken to cabinet. There's cabinet that doesn't this document. Because I'm just checking what will be the impact of us engaging if it's submitting what was going to happen.
Honorable member, you must always at the back of your mind have separation of powers. Okay. We've got the authority to be able to deal with matters here despite the fact that cabinet is still going to be engaged with and have our own opinion. Remember, the department has not as yet come to give us a brief, but as a portfolio committee, we are saying we want to look into this document. When the department do come, we will get the outcomes of what transpired in cabinet. If there is serious policy shift or whatever, we will still be looking into that. But what becomes critical, I think it's yesterday or so, we had another challenge in the Eastern Cape. Pave Kumbi, that was having scholars and it led on collision. These are the daily things that we are having. The more we procrastinate on this policy, the more it becomes very difficult. We are unable to deal with some of the issues that are there. And that is why we felt that as a portfolio committee, let's look into this. Make inputs where we believe we have to make inputs. Look at what are the critical things that we believe will be able to enrich this police. Honorable Humsinga.
Thank you, James. A lot of my concerns are based on the model of management, in that two departments would share the responsibility as well as three spheres of government, which really complicates everything, you know. Not that we want to see it from the top to the bottom, but it's often understood as levels rather than spheres, but we all know what we mean. But because the bottom line is, you know, is one responsible or is everybody responsible? Moving away from your more sort of ideological point of departure, to get a bit more practical, and I've written 7 pages of comment on this draft bill, so I'm just extracting some of the main concerns. So in a very practical sense, it's not just about learners, it's also about the people contracting. And then one of the issues would talk to insurance and liability, for instance, because there's nothing of the sort in this whole policy document, and surely it makes it easier for a contractor if the risk is covered in a way that it's clear in the document what the transporters should comply to. So we make it easier for contractors to get into the industry by being specific about what they should comply to. All of that just lacks in this whole document. Because in the relationship between what you contract for, what type of contractor you intend being, and the type of service that you render, within that triangle, you sit with risk, design, and premium. And I'm leaving it with that. Then in terms of the more financial technical side of things, I've got a concern about what informs the budget, because certainly if we want to progress in terms of how we currently operate and how we want to operate, you know, it should be progress and it should be an improved outcome. Now, there's no indication of how and which stats would inform the budget. Currently, learner enrollment determines the is determined from the previous year. But if we look at Census 2011, we see that a lot of 7-year-olds are in number a lot more than the 8-year-olds. And there's a lot more 12-year-olds than 13-year-olds. So if we inform each next year's budget from the previous enrollment, we're constantly behind. And there's constantly a number of kids that just don't have transport once the year starts. I've got a number of issues with regards to definitions. For instance, the distinction between bus and minibus with a DMIDI bus would allow for a modified bus instead of a lawfully adopted or adapted by a registered manufacturer type of bus. And I think we've had enough examples in our history, you know, of these self-manufactured, extended, you know, having more seats in a bus type of buses, so that we can be a bit more strict on that. Then when we get to the spheres of government, especially on local government level, there's reference to the role of metros, districts, and local governments, and I'm not sure, you know, whether we going into the direction here of some un- and underfunded mandates, you know, cost that would land with local metro and district municipalities, because they carry responsibility and therefore roles and function and therefore expenses. So I've got a concern about that. And then definitions, you know, if we really look at international law and similar types of policy on an international level, we definitely lack a lot of description in the document. And I'm referring to definitions of stuff like special needs, distance, scholar day, route, holiday, term, timetable, principals, school governing bodies, and trip. Those are all words that are mentioned in a particular reference, but it's undefined and not within the definition, which I think is very important for a clear understanding, because now we're going with the document, you know, in two different departments right through all three spheres of government, and it should be very clear, you know, what we're trying to convey to the reader. And in chapter 7, it becomes a bit more difficult. Chapter 7 deals with roles and responsibility, specifically on implementation. And then in 7.1.2, there's an expression of joint responsibility and a lot of description around that with huge overlaps. So at the end of the day, you know, no one would feel really responsible because of the overlaps. In Chapter 8, when we look at policy areas and statements, again, I struggle with vague descriptions. How would you understand roles and responsibilities shall be aligned to the location of function? You know, this one sentence can be interpreted in probably five or six ways. And then second last point, paragraph 8.1.3, also as an example, talks of it will meet the safety standards. What standards? The standards are not described. Who will check those standards and make sure that everybody complies? It's not described. And if not compliant, what will happen? And then lastly, if we look at this through the eyes of the learner, if something does not comply in terms of standards so that the service cannot be tolerated, what backup is there for the learner and for the kids? And then lastly, Chair, paragraph 8.4.1, we talk of, or there's expression of enough in terms of the number of learners. How much is enough? Secondly, and a word viable in terms of dedicated use. What is viable? You know, it's a relative term, it's not a specific term. And then also regarded in terms of something being appropriate, but it's also an open term. What is the content of regarded? And then also appropriate, also very vague and open term, open for interpretation. So there's a lot of good stuff in this as well. You know, I just focused on a couple of issues which I think we can definitely be smart about. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you very much. I hope the Secretariat is capturing most of the issues that you have raised.
Okay, just a clearinghouse issue. I hear Honourable Member is mentioning 8 point something, but the document I have, it finished at 6.8. I don't know the numbering. There may well be two documents that we're talking about interchangeably. My document end with 6.8, so
sorry, Chair, just to save myself out of this one, I'm referring to the draft document. This one we only received now. I didn't print out the final draft, so I was referring to the first draft copy.
Now, Chair, with that clarity, now I must confess that I'm still a bit cold insofar as this document that we now have, because it's been segregated here. I read the other one, and I made some notes on the other one. There were lots of notes on it, on the other one, but perhaps now that I'm reading this one, and my notes on that document may well be superfluous, because now this document is now being corrected. I don't know how I'm going to, that's my dilemma. I don't know, I'm only talking to my dilemma in engaging this document. But let me just say, Chair, now the one second dilemma is that I don't know what the cabinet, has the cabinet approved this document or there's some amendment under this document. So we're discussing this document and there's another document that some position that has been taken. I think what perhaps we should be trying to establish is this document that is now final document, is this one draft, and then we move on the basis of the final document. For an example, this document, I just quickly paging through,
being caught by a certain paragraph, it's still suggesting that there is going to be dual responsibility. Now, if a function is transferred to transport, and then transport at some point it relies on education to perform its own function, we may end up into the merry-go-round stuff. So I don't know, I'm trying to get to that paragraph so that I can actually show you what I'm talking about. Now, on page 22 from the 327, it talks about code of conduct of drivers and learners. So it talks about this is a responsibility that must be developed between transport and education. Now, this is a movement of people. It's people that are going to be on a transport going to school. Now, why must it be a joint venture? Then later in the document, when they concluded, they then say they will now expect provincial transport plans. There must be development of a similar document at the provincial level. Now, I thought that once we have one policy, it's implementable at all levels, is cascading down to all the problems. They're using one document. Now, once we have giving the provincial MECs to come up with their own thing, it's going to be another merry-go-round. The question I have, at what stage do we implement this policy in the absence of the developed document by the MEC? How relevant this document becomes this document? It means, therefore, this document is irrelevant because it says programs must develop their own and submit it, and the treasury to consider also the financial implications. So it's the one issue I'm pulling out. So I think what we need to have is to clarity. I would love to see a document that is one document, one government, is implementable. Remember, Chair, we said we were concerned about sometimes in the various provinces because of the premier's responsibility. They appoint MECs and they configure the structure in a different way. But we then said this policy must cut through that. Irrespective of how they put two departments or three departments together, we still want to see transport being center of the implementer of this policy document. So I think, for me, I want to just rest my case to say, my difficulty is just that I don't quite know what we were talking about and how we're going to implement that, this document, given the process. My humble suggestion, and because I came late, so I'm not contracting out of the main decision. I'm just suggesting that perhaps we should shelve this discussion for another day, and then you need to get some clarity, Chair, in terms of from the minister, parliamentary liaison person. This is now final document. And once that happens, we need to get a department official to come to talk to us, so that we can also directly ask this question about many nine other provinces documents that are going to come, that are going to be developed. It's definitely instruction that they must develop it. Is it a good thing or bad thing? For me, for my thinking, I think it's horrible. It's going to take another 6 months before you actually implement. Because if the root or the activator of the implementing this document is a provincial policy document that comes out of the MEC, the unevenness in terms of capacity to develop these things. So it's going to be, I don't know.
Thank you very much. Honorable member, what we said in the beginning of the meeting was that it is a discussion so that we can be able to look at what are the other things. The department will be coming to brief us on scholar transport next week. This is the document that was put forward in the portfolio committee on basic education. It was discussed in the portfolio committee of basic education. So we are having, in terms of what we are having in our gadgets, is the draft before this one. Those are the issues that we're talking to. But I think Honorable Hunsinger, you had your hand up. It doesn't stop us from looking at what are the missing links, what are the things that we believe. Come next week, we have gone through this document. When the department comes, they are able to tease out on a number of things that we believe as a committee are still, we still believe that they should be able to look into. Truly speaking, even me, I felt that once you've got a policy at national level, why should we have a policy at a provincial level and have a policy at local level? It doesn't make sense. Somewhere others will be able to make a policy that can paralyze all of us. Somewhere people can be able to make a policy that can be really wayward in terms of all these other things. I believe that policy comes from, when it comes from national level, it must be cascaded as it is to the local level. It's guiding. The implementation may differ, like indicating very clearly that the implementation will differ from one province to the other based on the prerogative of the premier as and when they were developing their department. Some Department of Public Transport are with police, some Department of Public Transport are with sports, some are, they are everywhere. There is no rigidity in terms of how to deal with a Department of Transport at provincial level. It's the prerogative of the premier. Honorable Hunsinger, Honorable De Freitas, I saw your hands up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. We often have situations where kids go to the next closest school. Whether they cross border or not, they don't see the border. They just go to the next school. So you might have conflicting types of conduct. Particular situations of them having to get off a bus or a taxi because the code of conduct would only apply up to the border. And to a kid, that just doesn't make sense, and to parents neither. But my big concern is the shared responsibility between two government departments. Once we implement, once this policy takes effect, who has the ultimate responsibility if we say this is a shared responsibility between two government departments on three spheres of government? I just see huge complications for this thing.
Thank you, Chair. I would agree that we continue with the presentation on the department, but I do want to bring up what our colleague has mentioned is from what version are we working from? So if we could ask the Secretary, before next week, if this is indeed the one we've given today, this is indeed the one that the Cabinet is looking at, so that we're all singing for the same song sheet. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will definitely, before those of business, be able to indicate to which document we will be using come next week. Any other matter, Honourable Members? Waiter?
Are you asking about anything else, not on this item?
Okay. In view of the fact that there is no other issues, members will be reading through the document next week when the department make a presentation. We definitely will be better off than we are now with a number of issues that will be raised. Are there any other matters that we believe we should be able to engage with before we leave this meeting? Honorable debaters?
Thank you, Chair. Just a question I received a few weeks back, and I see this was copied to the members of the committee, a letter from AXA minority shareholders. I understand that the committee didn't meet when it was on oversight, the one that I couldn't attend. I just wanted to know, because we received this communication, have you taken it on as an issue, Chair, or what is the situation there? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable De Freitas. In our discussion with the minority shareholders, it dawned on us that there was already a court case pending, and we felt that we will not continue with the matter because when we were going to engage with them, were not aware that there was a court case. But in view of the fact that there was a court case pending, we said we will disengage and allow the court proceedings to continue on this matter. So basically that is how far we have really gone in that regard. We have never engaged instead with the minority shareholders. And we told them in that meeting that for the fact that this matter is in court, as a portfolio committee, we don't want to meddle and we'll allow all the processes to be finalized before we can be able to proceed with the matter. That's how far we have gone. Probably we would be sending you the draft strategic plan documents before the end of this week so that members can be able to go through what we are proposing as we are going through the strategic plan. But two critical things that we will be dealing with, we have requested Arto to come and make a presentation. And we have also requested Textile Capitalization to also come and make a presentation. And then we will go into our strategic planning. It's going to be a strat plan. My wish is that we can be able to have a strat plan for the remainder of our term, which actually will be cut into financial years, but it should be up until 2019. And then we have annual plans that we will be engaged into. So once we have sent you the proposal, we would request members to also make additions of the other things that we believe we would want to be engaged in. But the other thing that I want to share with honorable members is that the chair of chairs has requested us that on an annual basis we must do zero-based budgeting. That we make sure that for the whole financial year, these are the things that we make as a submission to the chair of chairs so that we can be able to have our budget. So we are not late in terms of that. As we will be going into our strategic plan, members should be able to think as to what are the things that we believe we can do in this financial year. We are allowed to think of seminars, international tours, and all these other things that we believe as a committee will be able to enrich our work. So basically, we will be sending those proposals. We expect members to be able to go into that exercise. On that note, can I request members of the African National Congress to remain a little bit, 3 minutes, but also say, members, our meeting starts at 9:30. Does it start at 9:20 or at 9:45? It starts at 9:30. If you can try and be punctual, it definitely will be able to assist us to be business-like. You know, some of us, so look, when the meeting doesn't start at the scheduled time, so I'm urging members and requesting members to just sacrifice to say you arrive on time. The other days is fine. You can arrive any time, but just for Tuesday, only Tuesday, 9:30, we are in a committee room. That will be very nice of you, honorable members. On that note, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. Thank you.